punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Happy Monday, everybody. First, let's do some weather real quick, and then we'll go into some other news here. Altus, you're the hot spot in the state right now. Oop, that just changed. Sorry, let me back up here. Yes, Altus is now. Altus, 93 degrees. Mangum's 90 degrees. 77 at Buffalo. 82 at Cherokee. Lahoma, 81. Home of the OSU Research Center. More on that coming up here in just a minute. 83 out at Cheyenne. And then out here in the panhandle of Texas, 77 at Lipscomb. 89 at Odell. 88 at Wellington. 87 at Dozer. So, more on. Before we get into major deals, just want to send out thoughts and prayers for the people affected by the storms up there in Custer County and Dewey County and Roger Mills. So a lot of things tore up out in the country that they're not reporting. I've got people there north of Butler lost their truck, the trailers and barns, and I just from people I know. I know there was a lot more out there. One of our listeners, they lost a couple barns and some travel trailers and some stuff stored in the barns. And their neighbor lost their house and barn. So anyway, that was crazy how fast that built up yesterday and just blew up in a matter of minutes. I was headed down to West of Willow to work on a solar pump down there. It wasn't a cloud in the sky, nothing on the radar. Headed down there, and just as I was pulling up, started sprinkling, and that thing got dark, got black, started hailing, and I needed to get out of there. Thankfully, somebody was there. I made it almost to the blacktop, slid off in the bar ditch. I had slimy grease down there in them brakes. Woo, she's doing. But anyway, hailed down there, but the storm up north, it's the one that caught attention. Tornadoes, hail. A friend of mine had baseball size hail at his place. And so, anyway, it's crazy. I have no reports. I don't think anybody was hurt, thank goodness. So anyways, prayers and thoughts. It was all out in the rural area, so it was all farmers and ranchers out there. They got affected by this. I don't think any of the big cities in our listening area anyway got hit. So anyway, we'll... just like I said, we're praying for you guys and hope you get the mess cleaned up today. Some benefits did come out of it with some good rain. And so there by, was it Butler? Butler, in that area, in that southern part of Dewey County, they kind of been missing some of the rain here the last 2, 3, 4 months. So hopefully they got some last night. Anyway, weekend adventures for Jimmy. Besides getting stuck and working on a solar pump yesterday evening. Had the battle at the creek at Cordell. It's amazing how many farmers and ranchers are ag-related people play golf. So anyway, that was I'll have more on it later on, maybe tomorrow or something. Got some people I want to brag on, but that golf tournament was awesome. I'm not going to lie, it was a little breezy yesterday. And... it's just cool to play with people involved in agriculture. Not everybody in the golf tournament was agriculture, but most of the people I seen was. I had farmers and ranchers playing with me. I haven't even, might or might not have had somebody that maybe works at Wheeler Brothers that there. Anyway, he played golf with us, and then what else is there? Bankers were there. Bankers are always watching farmers and ranchers, making sure probably they're not doing any big bets on the side or nothing where they miss cattle payment or something. But anyway, the bankers were there. It was just fun. I had a good weekend, and we cooked out up there and camped out and had some fried eggs and bacon yesterday morning. And then anyway, so that was about it. I have more on that because I want to brag on some people at the Cordell Golf Course, because, you know, that's out in the middle of nowhere, and it was fun. It was in great shape. Somebody's been working really hard to get that course up in shape. So anyway, brag on them later. Cotton planters. I hear the Cotton King maybe not be planting. But anyway, I'm just going to throw this out there that one of my other friends over in the Delhi area is going to be planting in about an hour. So if you're going to be the first, Cotton King, you better crank it up and get it rolling within by the end of the show, or you're going to be last. Because if you're not first, you're last. So anyway, so yeah, we got lots going on there. So anyway, let's check out why the market is off the charts today real quick before we take our first break, as soon as I can find it. All right. Overnight, wheat futures jumped in overnight trading and worsening drought conditions in Kansas, the biggest U.S. producer of winter varieties, and reduced production forecast in several growing countries. Conditions worsened in Kansas as 49% is now facing drought, up from 48.6%. A week earlier, and 28.2% 3 months ago, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. Little rain, about 10 to 25% of normal, has fallen in much of southwestern Kansas, the Oklahoma, and Texas Panhandle in the past 30 days, according to data from the National Weather Service precipitation page. About half the U.S. winter crop was in good or excellent condition as of last Sunday, according to the Department of Agriculture. Russian wheat output was recently reduced by Sovcon, and exports are down, seen by Grain Exporters Union, and about just under 47 million metric tons. The U.S. Department of Agriculture earlier this month forecast Russian exports to be about 53.5 million. So they're right now they're down about six million tons. Dry weather through much of the growing season and a threatening frost in early May cut crop prospects in Russia. Wheat in France was 64% good or excellent at the start of last week, according to the Farm Office France Agromer. I hope I got that right. I have no clue. I need to call that guy working for Mesner. He's from France. Maybe France Agromer. Yeah, let's go to that. I can say oui, monsieur, but that's about as far as my French goes. That's down from 93% that earned top ratings at the same point last year. Soybean and corn were also higher in overnight trading amid ongoing weather woes in Brazil. Flooding in the Rio Grande do Sul in South Brazil has left towns and farm fields underwater. Now the death toll's up to 150, and 600,000 people are displaced from their homes. Wow. Anyway, wheat futures for July delivery rose 18.25 cents to 669.5 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. In Kansas City, futures jumped 17.75 cents to 679.5 a bushel, and it's even up more. I'll update you that here coming up in the next segment. Soybean futures for July delivery overnight gained 5.25 to 12.33.25 a bushel. Soy meal added 30 cents to 369.10 a short ton. And soy oil was up 0.12 cents to 45.39 cents a pound. Corn futures were even up 2.75 cents to 455.25 a bushel. Speculators reduced their bearish bets in corn and wheat to multi-month lows while leaving soybean positions mostly unchanged. Investors cut their net short positions or bets on lower prices in corn to 61,290 futures contracts in 7 days that ended on May 14th, according to the data from the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. That's down from 93,777 contracts a week earlier. Money managers were net short by 16,906 future contracts in soft red winter wheat, down from 23,812 the previous week. Investors also reduced their bearish bets on soft red winter wheat, holding 29,961 contracts, and that's down from 44,000 a week earlier. Let's see here. Wheat. Hedge funds and other large investment firms held a net short position of 32,000 contracts in soybeans, up from 30,170 a week earlier. And that's all it's got going on there. What's the weather going to do in our old favorite farm belt? Severe thunderstorms are likely in parts of northeastern Oklahoma through mid-morning and this afternoon, but they're going to refire again tomorrow, according to the National Weather Service. Strong wind gusts are forecast for this morning in the area, and the thunderstorms will return to the region. Tomorrow, scattered storms are expected in central and western Illinois this evening, and just hail, tornadoes, strong winds, small hail, they're saying, but anyway, just kind of a, hey, it's spring-like spring and early summer weather, so let's go on in. Anybody out there listening, cutting any wheat yet? I know they were going to fire some up around Frederick today, but I don't know if they're cutting any down around El Dorado, Altus, down in that area. If you are, the agriculture text line is wide open at 580-225-9697. I've had multiple texts on my phone since the show started. I'll check out what they got going on during the break. See what else. Peanut planting is some people are already done. Some people in the middle of it. Some got started. So I figure peanut planting will be pretty much over with here in the next week or two. Cotton planting starting today, it sounds like. Maybe here in about 45 minutes. Anyway, things are getting busy. And again, I just want to caution everybody that's non-agriculture out there driving around, or let people know, be aware of the equipment out on the roads today, the highways and stuff like that. And then I'm going to leave you with a question that I need you guys to participate in during the show, because coming up in the last segment, we're going to talk about it. What do you guys think the rules are on rivers, creeks, on private land? What do you guys really think the rule, the law, not rules, whatever? So what brought this up is there was a post on Facebook about, can I take my horse down a river to look for fishing spots? Well, yeah, you probably can on public, but private's a whole different ballgame. What are you guys' thoughts on, can you trespass, can you stop at a river bridge on the highway and go down there on the river and walk through the river and walk through private land? Or fish under the bridge or stuff like that. But anyway, I want to see what you guys' thoughts are, because there's laws, and I've been doing a little investigating here before the show about navigable waters and stuff like that. But I want to see what you guys are thinking. So if you catch somebody, you got a river running through you, you catch somebody on your property, they're in a tube or a canoe or something, what's the law? Or if they're walking through your river, what do you, walking through your land on the river, what do you think the laws are? Anyway, I just like to hear some. I'm going to get somebody on here that really knows what they're doing later on, maybe this week or next week, but really knows the law. But some Jimmy Clark law reviews got come up. So we'll see what you guys are thinking. Let's go ahead and take a break. An OCA break, that is, an Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. And we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
CNH Feed and Supply carries nothing but the best brands, including that tried and true Stillwater Milling, cross-brand horse feed, Antler Max deer protein, and so much more. CNH also has a diverse selection of hay, and don't forget about those hassle-free biodegradable lick tubs. CNH Feed and Supply is a place to shop for all your farm, ranch, and hunting needs. CNH, serving the area since 1926. Visit your local CNH and they'll get you all fixed up.
Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes here for SEI Agritech in Elk City. You know, SEI is ready to help you with your summer cover crops. They offer a multi-species blend that's great for grazing and hay. Plus, it'll help address your soil health concerns. So give the good folks a call at SEI Agritech today at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317. Or stop by and see them on South Randall in Elk City today.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate and it's 105 degrees outside and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
Harvest equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed at Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
If you've been looking for a good dealer you can trust when it comes to buying a new car, truck, or SUV, well, the Lipscomb dealerships have arrived in Elk City and Sayre, and we'd like to invite you out to help us celebrate with good people and great deals on new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, GMC, Ford, and pre-owned vehicles backed by a family that's been in the car business for almost half a century and always puts you, the customer, first. Lipscomb. Good people. Great deals in Elk City, Sayre, and at LipscombDealerships.com.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, May the 10th. 823 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 394 brought 330. 6 at 484 brought 312. 5 at 541 brought 286. 7 at 562 brought 284. 3 at 652 brought 260. 12 at 679 brought 250. 4 at 728 brought 247. 12 head of heifers at 438 brought 3. 4 at 485 brought 286. 14 at 579 brought 250. 3 at 625 brought 230. 2 at 625 brought 230. 7 at 688 brought 237. 3 at 742 brought 232. Butcher cows were 10 to 154. Butcher bulls were 30 to 180. Bred cows brought 850 to 2425. Pairs 1875 to 2550. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Currently, this on the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet Center here in our studio, 84.4 degrees, 47% humidity, and the winds are out of the south, 5.4. And Lipscomb, Texas, here is your ag weather update. Currently, it's 78 degrees, humidity 62, dew point 64. The winds are out of the west at 13 miles an hour, with wind gust up the 17, peak gust today, 24 miles an hour. Month-to-date precipitation, 3 inches, 8-inch soil temperature, 71 degrees. I know it's warmed up. That soil temperature really came alive here in the last couple of days. So anyway, I already got one reply on the text line. Rivers belong to Oklahoma. It's not private land. So that's one response. What do you guys think about that? So anyway, we'll get onto that later on. Here is your Lipscomb Dealerships Ag Market Update. And quite a bit going on today. Not a whole lot of negative stuff, but a lot of positive stuff. July corn, 461, up 8 3/4. September, 471, up 9. Soybeans for July, 1248. Up 20 and a half. August 1244, up 19. Soybean meal, July 374.10, up 5.30. August 370.70, up $4.50. Soybean oil, July 46.39, up 1 12th, August, 4664, up 110. Hard red winter wheat, July, 698, up 36 and a half. September, 712, up 36 and a half. Keep going, baby. Keep going. Cotton's even up today. You better get that seed in the ground so it'll sprout, so it'll be worth more money. Cotton King, I'm talking to you. July cotton, 76.45, up 56. October, 76.76, up 94. And changed much since this morning. West Texas Intermediate crude oil, June, 79.50, up 56. Let's see here. Natural gas, June, 271, up 08. Looks like the Dow is in the red, and the S&P and the NASDAQ are in the black. Live cattle for June, 181.42, up 37. August, 178.82, down 22. Feeder cattle for May, 246.82, up 10. Just changed to get on me. Nope, let's back up. Feeder cattle for May, 246.32, down 40. August, 258.17, down 167. October, 260 even, down 135. Lean hogs, June, 96.75. Up 25, July 99.90, up 15, or down 15 now. And nothing else major going on. Sugar Daddy still losing money with the sugar. Speaking of Sugar Daddy, he sends me a text the other day that the field crickets were really getting bad over there where he leaves. Well, when he tells you something like that to you or sends it to you in text, you can bet within the next 48 hours, the same thing is going to happen to you. I've never seen anything like it. This morning, he sent this to me Saturday. And anyway, this morning I walk out to about 6 o'clock, let the doors down on the high tunnel, and all of a sudden, I got field crickets everywhere. They're inside the high tunnel. They're boring inside there where there's no weed mat. They're out on the road. They're out in the rye field. They're down the driveway going to the house. There's field crickets everywhere. I didn't have a one till he said something. So if you want a bad omen, just listen to him, ignore him, tell him to take it back, whatever you want. I guess they're not bothering nothing. Got some good fishing bait though. See how that goes. All right, so we got all kinds of stuff going on. Let's see here. Just got an update from Frederick. I asked him if he was cutting yet, because they got a bunch of combines sitting there. Said not yet, still a smidge green for us, but there's quite a few that started yesterday. So something's going on down there in that area around Frederick. So I guess some wheat cutting has started. It's that time of year, baby. It's as busy as it all gets out. Let's see, what else was I going to talk about? Oh, speaking of Frederick, I don't know if he's listening today, but he does listen sometimes. I want to wish Mr. Steve Clark a happy birthday down there. He's one of my listeners that started listening here a few years ago. But anyway, I seen on social media that he is, I don't know how old he is, pretty old. But anyway, his birthday was today. So anyway, let's see here. I'll just fill in you some texts that I got in on. The question is on the rivers. And my question should pertain to if it's a navigable river, because I think that's the way the laws are read. But hey, this is some Jimmy Clark law going on, so don't get mad at me if I'm wrong. But anyway, you have to be floating. If your feet touches the ground, that equals trespassing. There you go. If it's a pond, then you don't... you're done. You are in private property. If it's a creek or river that runs through your property, it was there before you got the property. So actually, that is not trespassing, because I believe it's part of the history of how the creek and river ran. Well, all right, Ronnie, that's a opinion. That's not a law. So anyway, rivers belong to Oklahoma. It's not private land. So anyway, we're building up for the suspense for the last segment. So like I said, 225-580-225-9697. If you're interested in responding to what if you're trespassing or what the law allows you to do. And, you know, the law is basically, it pertains to navigable water, I believe. So anyway, like I said, we'll get an expert on here in the next week or two and really get down to, there's so many different opinions on that. So we'll see what happens. Also coming up next segment, we're going to talk tractors. We're going to talk about Ford's long blue line. I've seen that in Successful Farming. I thought it was pretty interesting on some of those deals here. And you guys remember, two or three weeks ago here, I talked about feral hogs and hogs. Wild hogs are more deadlier than sharks. Well, anyway, that guy that wrote that story, I follow a lot of his stuff. His name's Chris Bennett. He's really a really good writer, I think. But anyway, few writers covering the ag industry in rural America today can tell a story quite like Chris Bennett. He's a senior writing for AgWeb and Farm Journal magazine. From Ponzi schemes to antler madness, pig motels to suing the feds, Bennett has a nose for news you won't find anywhere else in the media world that most of us tap into every day. It's pretty. So on a podcast the other day with on Ag Days, Clinton Griffin's and the U.S. Reports, Farm Reports, Time Morgan, Bennett, I was listening to the podcast, but anyway, they actually wrote a story up on it. Anyway, he provides some behind-the-scenes look on how he finds these stories amazing and how he tells them so well. He said, crazy draws crazy, I guess, he said. Then add some of his stories take years to complete. It's a blessing to get to work with all these farm stories at one time with an office full of old fat folders. He remains patient during his investigations, allowing stories to develop at their own pace. Case in point, recently Bennett drew plenty of readers to his story about new research that revealed more human beings are killed every year by wild pigs than by sharks. On Unscript, he says the researcher, John Mayer, hollered at me a long while back about a study he was doing on the subject. Bennett asked Mayer to let him know when the study was released to the public. He then combined a report about the study with the story of a Texas woman that was mauled to death by wild pigs here about 4 years ago, 2019. But for a story to catch his interest, it doesn't have to pit a Hogzilla against Jaws. It's more of a matter of deciding what will interest his readers and how it's best to investigate and ultimately tell the tale. I have to approach these stories with the mindset of a 10-year-old. You have to approach a story with wonder and with humility. He also says listening deeply to the people he interviews is critical to the process. Anyway, I thought it was pretty interesting. As accomplished storytellers themselves, Morgan and Griffiths share their own beliefs about the art and craft. You can find something interesting when talking to almost anybody, Griffiths says, but you can't go in with a perceived notion. You have to be willing to hear what they say. Morgan agrees, adding, it's about allowing them to tell the story and not getting in the way of it. These guys remind me, they're professionals, I'm not. They remind me a lot of myself. That's the reason why I go to the coffee shops sometimes in the morning, because I don't want to miss out on any awesome stories about Bigfoot, or the battery went down on my hearing aid yesterday, or what else can I hear? Southbound has some of the best storytellers in Western Oklahoma. And you know they're not true, but you got to go listen to them. But anyway, man, it's cool stuff goes on over there at Sarah every morning. You never know what you're going to miss out on. All right, Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. The Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association is a member-led and member-driven organization that provides legislative representations to protect things like your farm sales tax exemption, water rights, property rights, up to $10,000 theft reward program to assist in gathering information if you experience livestock theft, in-person and virtual producer education, beef sales direct sales list that connects customers to OCA members marketing beef. monthly issues of the Cowman magazine and weekly email updates and issues videos for just $100 a year. You can experience all those member benefits and so much more. That's less than $2 a week or less, a little over $8 a month to have an association that's working full time to represent you and help you protect your way of life. www.okcattleman.org or call Miss Lori, the famous Miss Lori, up here in Ellis County, 580-273-5137. 580-273-5137. I'll be honest with you. You don't even have to be a cattleman, own cattle, to be a member of the OCA. With just the theft reward of anything going on out there on doing with livestock on your place, and just the beef direct sales list is worth $8 a month, especially if you're wanting to buy some beef. You know what I mean? Anyway, just OCA, Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. Let's go ahead and take an OCA break. Come back. I'll have your Northwestern Oklahoma ag weather update, and we'll get more and more closer to talking about, are you trespassing? Do you have, what's the deal? We'll get a little closer.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
A whole herd of 2024 F-150s are stampeding at Barber Dyson Ford. In the northeast part of Elk City, we think it's truck month all year long. On the 2024 F-150s, we've got rebates up to $2,500 and options on low interest rates. Now's the time to get your family hauler with big rebates and interest as low as 0% on SUVs. Barber Dyson Ford wants your business. We'll give you more for your trade-in and do everything we can to get you in the new or pre-owned vehicle of your dreams. Next to the airport in Oak City and online at BarberDysonFord.net.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
If you think Taco Bell is only for late night, you are mistaken. Taco Bell is also for daytime, which is why it's introducing the new Cantina Chicken menu. With new Cantina Chicken tacos, burrito, and quesadilla. And new ingredients like seasoned slow-roasted chicken, freshly prepared pico de gallo, shredded purple cabbage, and even a new avocado verde salsa packet. It's the Taco Bell for when it's not late night.
Whoa, not just late night. Try the new Cantina Chicken menu now. The participating U.S. Taco Bell locations while supplies last. Contact store for participation with fares.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
They want you to see them as people and not just a number. They love when you know their name when they walk in the door and greet them with a smile. They love that. I like to hear people's stories and find out about their lives and get to know them. we sponsor in the community a lot, in the communities, in the surrounding communities. We just really care about people. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah.
Member FDIC.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Who do we look up out there? Let's go with Putnam. Home of Benji and Lori White. How about that? 82 degrees there. Dew point 67, humidity 60%. Winds are out of south, southwest at 19 miles an hour. With wind gusts up to 24. 24-hour rain total, 57 one-hundredths of an inch. 10-day rain total, 2.37 inches. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 72 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.9. Sunset at 8:38. 95 for a high today with southwest winds, and what they're doing now is 15 to 17. Tonight, 70 for a low. South winds picking up tonight. 12 to 21 with gusts up to 30 to 40 tonight. It's going to be a little windy tonight. Anyway, they're going to die. It looks like it's going to die down for tomorrow. Still going to be warm. Mostly sunny, 92 degrees with south-southwest winds, 13 to 18 miles an hour. All right. Hey, I got some breaking news for you. So this Friday morning, if you guys will, either watch on Facebook or listen to it on 96.5 KECO, Sean Wilson, head guru of the Exploring Energy Show, is going to have a farmer on from Roger Mills County. From Grimes, to be exact. He's the guy that's so smart that he uses... he doesn't measure rains in tenths. He measures it in thousands. Like if you got 0.10 inches of rain, you know, it's 1/100, 1/1000th of an inch. That's the guy we're talking about. Anyway, guess what they're going to be talking? And this is going to be cool. You guys don't, Friday, I'm going to remind you again here in a couple of days. They're going to be talking about nuclear. Anyway, nuclear energy. So this could be good or it could be bad. I don't know. I know them both real well, but anyway, we'll see what's going on. So Friday morning, 8 a.m., tune in on Facebook, on the Exploring, or on KCO's Facebook page or the radio. I think that's going to be very interesting. I hear rumors that instead of building an electric tractor to pull his baler with, I hear he might be building a nuclear tractor to pull his baler with. Just telling you. Just rumors. Never know about it. Well, speaking of tractors, let's talk about some blue ones. Seen this article over the weekend, so I saved it for you. But the Ford Tractors Division horsepower push in the 60s established the company's importance in the tractor marketplace and introduced the company's iconic blue color scheme. Twice Ford reigned supreme in the world of tractors, owning the marketplace with the sales of the Fordson and the N series tractors. By the late 1950s, however, the glory years had faded. To complicate matters, Ford was being left behind in the horsepower race. Its largest machines delivered less than 50 horsepower. Competitors were bringing out new models in the 60 to 80 horsepower range. At least three major manufacturers were on the verge of busting the 100 horsepower barrier. Ford, in short, was losing market share. The eyes of over 350,000 stockholders were riveted on the company, which had gone public in 1956. Before that, this firm was owned by the Ford family, who ran the company as they saw fit. Grandson of the company's founder, Henry Ford II, sometimes known as HF2 or Hank the Deuce, spurred company managers to re-engineer how the company's tractor division operated and invigorated company engineers to bring the Ford line out of its horsepower. In response, the company set about restructuring itself. The separate British and U.S. tractor operations were merged in 1961, about 5 months before I was born, creating the Ford Tractors Division. Sales of the Fords may have weakened in the United States, but what was said of British Empire also applied to Ford. The sun never set on its truly world market. The merger was viewed as a means to revigorate horsepower sales across the globe. Ford engineers wanting to strike it big to live up the success of the Fordsome company with its revolutionary unit frame construction and N-Series with its Ferguson three-point system conceived a leap in transmission technology, the full power shift, selecto speed it was called, paired with 242 cubic inch cylinder, six cylinder that is, diesel. The components powered the 6,000 high style machine. I'd seen one of those the other day. They're still around. That was a precursor of great things to come from Ford Engineering. The 6,000 also employed a unique accumulator to store hydraulic power, which supplemented the pump during times of high demand. Also, the tractor was unique in that it was built on a chassis frame instead of a unit frame construction method. Engine block bolted to the transmission and front cross member that created the frame, which had become more common with tractors. In the rush to get the 6,000 to the market in 1961, the tractor wasn't fully field tested. From the start, problems plagued the tractor's engine, hydraulic system, final drive, and transmission. Eventually, Ford recalled all the tractors to rebuild them and fix these issues. When those tractors returned to their owners, they came with a new color scheme that would become iconic of generation of tractors to come. The long blue line, they called it. What happened next with Ford tractors was a series of dizzling, almost nonstop introductions. In 1962, the British-made and diesel-powered 39-horsepower Fordson Super Dextra and 48-horsepower Fordson Super Major were imported into North America and rebadged the models 2000 and the 5000. The 2000 and 5000 were the first tractors to be painted in Ford's new blue color scheme. I got a picture of one here at a dairy farm in Minnesota. It looks pretty sharp. The following year, a gas version of the 2000 came to the market, replacing Ford's Workmaster series 501, 601, and 701. That same year marked the introduction of the gas-powered model 4000. It replaced the Power Masters models 801 and 901. The involving tractor division took another bold step forward in 1963 with Henry Ford II revealing the creation of the World Tractor line. Although it didn't affect the U.S. market, in Europe, the popular Fordson name was retired after being used there to sell tractors for 47 years. The color white came to use as the highlight color, complementing the blue base color to replace the light gray. In 1965, a mass of tractors redesigns were introduced with entirely new models, 2, 3, 4, and 5,000. The 6,000 also underwent a styling change and was renamed the 6,000 Commander. Ford engineers weren't done yet. In 1968 came the arrival of the big blue muscle machines led by the 8,000. The 8,000's 8-speed manual transmission was upgraded in 1969 with a partial range 8-speed power shift, topped off with a true operator's platform with a 43-gallon tank located behind the operator's chair. The 8,000 had three hydraulic pumps for full farming power. How about that? The results from that was more responsive hydraulics, but the problem was the PTO didn't lag if the three-point was activated. So anyway, keeping up on the horsepower pack, Ford took another leap in 1969 with the 9000. The tractor looked like an 8000, but it was a richer package of performance good. A turbocharger paired with 401 cubic inch diesel, allowing the 9000 to turn out an impressive 131 horsepower. Well, there you go. You guys learned something about a Ford today? Anyway, the 08Ns, man, they're a classic. So anyway, let's go ahead and take an OCA break. When I come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden ag weather update, and then we're going to talk about whether you're trespassing or not. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
I feel like I'm constantly cleaning hair off my bathroom floor. At least my Swiffer sweeper makes it easy. Swiffer heavy-duty dry cloths have ultra-thick pads to trap and lock hairs, like a hair magnet. And when I'm finished cleaning up my hair, Swiffer takes care of his too. Now the hair's gone, all thanks to Swiffer. Try Swiffer Sweeper heavy-duty dry cloths. I promise you'll love them or your money back. And also try Swiffer Sweeper Wet to make quick work of tough, sticky messes.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Time for cookouts, bonfires, and family. And there's nothing like loading up your family in a brand new 2024 Ford. Bronco Sport, Edge, Escape, Expedition, Expedition Max, Explorer, Mustang, Mustang Mach-E. And don't miss the new 2024 Ford truck lineup. These trucks can handle any outdoor adventure. Cummins offers great value, excellent service, and the most qualified experts in Western Oklahoma. Cummins Ford Lincoln and Weatherford, just off I-40, or online at CumminsFordWeatherford.com. Built Ford tough. See dealer for details.
Hey farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update. Hollis, Oklahoma, 91 degrees, feels like 87, dew points at 47, the humidity's 22. I bet they're cutting some wheat down there somewhere. Winds are out of the west, southwest, 8 miles an hour. 10-day rain total, 93 one-hundredths of an inch. 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil temperature, 76 degrees. Sunset around 8:39. Hot, 99 today. Southwest winds, 12 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, the winds pick up a little bit, 68 for a low. South winds, 12 to 20 with wind gust up to 30. Tomorrow, hot again, 97 degrees. Southwest winds, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Okay, bear with me a second here, but I found it. Somebody X'd out on their screen during break, and it wasn't very cool. Anyway, bear with me here a second. I am gone. I found it. Okay, so earlier we were talking about if you're on a river. Hey, don't quote me. Don't go trespassing. Don't call the law. We're going to do some more digging in this to be due because I'm going off of a couple of websites that are reliable. But anyway, so if you own some land on the Ouachita River, let's go, say, between Cheyenne or Strong City and Hammond. Is that water public water, the state's water, or your water? Well, according, maybe your water, but if it runs through there, it's different. But anyway, it could be yours. We're not going to get into that. We're going to talk about trespassing. So if you own a mile of the Washita River, just say south of Strong City, and you're there on, what is that, Kiowa Road. Anyway, so if you catch somebody floating the river on your property, are they trespassing? Are they not? Well, that's the million-dollar question. All these rumors you hear, like over here on the North Fork and the South Canadian, the North Canadian, the Cimarron, the Washita River, because those are our main rivers out here. The Red River down south of Altus. We got the Elm Fork. We got the Salt Fork of the Red River. We got all kinds of rivers running around here. Anyway, the laws, so that I've found out so far, pertain to navigable water. All right? So I looked up navigable waters in Oklahoma. Well, here's what I found. And it's a federal law. It's not a state law. This is what I found out. Arkansas River is one. The Bird Creek in Rogers County is one. The Canadian River in Cleveland and McLean County is considered that, down there by Lexington. And the Grand River is one. The Illinois River is one. The North Canadian River is one, but only in McIntosh County, not up here by Blaine County. So the Poto River, we all know where Poto is, about as far east as you can get from here in Oklahoma. Also the Red River in Love County, which is near Marietta, and the Red River in McCurtain County, which is, you know, guys knows where that is, right across the river from Bowie, Texas. And then the San Bos Creek, which is in Haskell County, and the Vigorous, if I said that right, River, which is in Rogers County, northeast of the Port of Catoosa. And then here's the Washita River. But guess what? The Washita River is a recognized navigable river only in Johnston County near Tishomingo, not up here in Roger Mills or Custer or whatever. Okay, so this is what they're calling in Oklahoma is federally recognized navigable water. All right, the North Fork of the Red River's not on here. The Salt Fork of the Red River's not on here. The Elm Fork of the Red River's not on here. And so there you go. In Oklahoma, under federal law, it says they're not recognized. Now, I might be wrong on this, but I did some pretty heavy digging into this, and that's why we're going to get somebody on there, maybe a way better expert than Jimmy's law, because I don't have a law degree. So, interesting enough, what they say on navigable water is if you can float on that water, but if you put your feet, if it's private land, if it's public land, it don't matter. This ain't what this conversation's about. If it's public land, you can, if you put your feet in the ground under the water, you're trespassing, okay? So no matter what. And the thing about I want to you people to realize is most of the water gaps with the landowners on the North Fork, the Elm Fork, and the Salt Fork, most of them are hot wire fences because when the river gets up and down, they don't have to do some major barbed wire repair. So anyway, if you're floating that river, which you may not be, we're going to get down to the bottom of this next couple of weeks. If you're floating that river and you go through there and tear the hot wire up, that's you know, and they come down the river and rangers, and it's crazy. SUVs and rangers and all that, jeeps and all that good stuff. And they just run through them. They don't stop and repair them. That's what pisses the landowners off, okay? That's where they get mad. That's where they don't like things. So anyway, so I don't know. We're going to do some more digging into this deal here. The law reads navigable. Ugh, I can't even talk today. I took my allergy pill too early. Anyway, those waters, I just read them off to you. There's 10 of them in the state of Oklahoma. So these rivers out here are not considered those waters. And anyway, people might have been looking at wrong all these years about that. So I don't know. We'll figure it out and get it going on. But so in the federal deal here, before we get done here, the navigable servitude is what it's called, is a doctrine in the U.S. Constitution that gives federal government the right to regulate navigable waters as an extension of the Commerce Clause in the article. And you can Google that and read into it on how they define the waters and all this stuff. The water coming through on the river to a landowner might not be his water, or might not. This depends on state laws there. But anyway, lots of cool stuff on that deal there. So be careful when you're floating on a river. You might be wrong even if you're in the inner tube or the canoe. So anyway, we'll dig more into this. You guys have a great day. This is the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah, Oklahoma. God bless.